Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Hello, my friends. Welcome back. This has been a hell of a week again. With Trump as president, something happens every day. Two or three things happen every day. There is so much to talk about. And there are things going on in the world that don't require Trump to talk about them. I'm going to try to give you a mixture this evening. Hope you will enjoy. I'm going to start with the most important thing I believe that occurred this past week, and that was the market, the Dow falling. If you recall, I have talked about this since last July on this show. I have written about it in my morning blog, keywestlew.com. I have spoken about it on my Facebook Key West Lou Live video. In fact, as recently as last week, I talked about the Dow. I have been predicting since last July that the Dow was going to fall. The market was going to crash. It could not keep going up the way it was. It was abnormal, impossible to continue in that fashion. I am not an economist. I'm not a money man. But I'm 82 years old. I have seen a lot in my years. I've lived through a few market failures. I've made some money. I've lost some money. And I just want to say, I could see it coming. The market was out of control. It just kept going up, up, up. Things don't work that way. What goes up that fast must come down. Simply stated, what goes up must come down at some point. So let's start. And I predicted this again last Tuesday. I was saying from July it was going to happen, and I'm not trying to show off here or anything. To me, it was obvious, again, for no other reason than I'm 82 years old. I've seen it before. Last July, I was saying it was going to happen by the end of last year or the beginning of this year. What are we into? We are into the beginning of this year. It dropped, what, 665 points on Friday, just like that. Everyone was shocked, surprised. How could this happen? Everything's good. And remember, Donald Trump has been saying the market's going up every day. Look how good the market is. He bought the market. He was making the market good. I hope he accepts responsibility now when the market goes down, and if it goes down further. And it really crashes, he assumes responsibility. In any event, it went down 665 points on Friday. It went down over 1,100 points yesterday. That's more than 1,500 points in 2 days. It doesn't happen that way. It went up today, 567 points. But that's only one-third of the amount it went down in 2 days. We're still over 1,000 points down. Will it go up tomorrow? Will it go up the next day? Will it keep going up? And then next week it crashes again. We are in that period. We are into that interlude. We don't know what is going to happen. I attribute the rise today of 567 points to something that in the market is called dead cat bounce. I repeat, dead cat bounce. After there's a dramatic fall, as we've had, a crash like we've had on Friday and Monday, those who understand the market jump in, and they buy up certain stocks that have dipped way down. They buy them at a premium. They're worth more than that. And then they hold on to them till they rise quickly, and then they sell, and they make a quick profit. That's called the dead cat bounce. Is the 567 points today, that increase, attributable to a dead cat bounce, or is it the market coming back? What happened here is this. The market adjusts itself. The market's like a person. If you overeat, you get sick. Sometimes you throw up. The market threw up. It regurgitated. When the market goes up that fast, it gets bloated, and it self-corrects. No one knows why, but it's like a person again. It self-corrects, and it drops radically until it reaches a point where it believes that the assets it is representing are no longer over-evaluated, and it gets down to a normal price level. I mean, this market could go down 5,000, 10,000 points, and it'd be nothing. And everyone takes a beating in this situation. Even now, people are taking a beating. All the people that were happy saying, oh, well, I don't have a lot of money. I don't have money in the market, but I've got a 401k, and boy, is my 401k going up. Well, you're into mutual funds in the 401k, and they went down. They went down since Friday, okay? See what kind of a beating you took there? And your 401k can go dramatically down, okay, if this market crashes further. That's all. I'm not trying to put a scare factor in you. I'm telling you what happens. Now, let me give you some numbers, because numbers don't lie. Showing that the market went up dramatically, rapidly, in a short period of time, abnormally. It went up in a fashion that does not happen. And here are the numbers. In the first 18 days of this year, that isn't very many days, the market went up 1,900 points. Do you hear me? 18 days, 1,900 points. Unbelievable. Since Trump was elected, this number blows me out. Since Donald Trump was elected a little more than a year, the market has gone up 8,300 points. 8,300 points. He's an excellent salesman, but he's also, in my opinion, he's selling tonic water, like in the old Western movies from the back of a covered wagon or something, to the Indians and to the poor farmers and the poor cowboys. This is going to cure, it's a cure-all. I'm going to take care of all your problems. And one of the things, he jumped into a market that was moving up, and he bought it, and he said, look, folks, what I'm doing, the market proves I am a success. I knew this was going to happen also, because this is the way these things work. Not again because I'm smart, but because I'm 82. When the American market goes kaput, the European and Asian markets go kaput the next day. And sure enough, when the markets in Europe and Asia opened yesterday morning, and they opened before we do because of the time differences, they went down dramatically. Not as bad as the U.S., but down dramatically. I don't know what's going to happen next. I hope this is it. I don't think, though, the market has regurgitated enough. I think it's going to have another sick stomach in the very near future, and that may be, and it could be this week. It could be a month from now. It's going to go down even worse than it did Friday and Monday. I want to talk about Donald Trump quickly, because at least one thing a day, one new thing a day happens that's attributable to him, and it's bullshit. That's the way I got to put it. I picked out seven that happened this past week. There are more, but seven's enough. I get sick of talking about Trump, and you may get sick about hearing about Trump. Starting off, Trump said just yesterday, what happened? I gave the State of the Union address, and the Democrats, they never stood up, and they never clapped. And what did he call that? He referred to it as treason. Well, he doesn't know history. In the modern era, going back, even before Roosevelt, I'm talking about Franklin D. Roosevelt, the opposite party never gets up. That's how they show they don't agree with whoever's speaking and his political position. And what's treasonous about sitting and not clapping? That's the way it is in this country. That's the way it's done. But he called it treason. Treason is a federal crime. You can be put to death for treason. He vilifies, he calls names, he makes everybody look bad. Judges, everyone, also, and I got a mental block, judges, where'd I want to go? The FBI, that's where I was going, the Justice Department, the FBI. You can't do this. You can't take what has been good in our nation and tear it down for your own political, your own personal political purposes. Moving on. Trump said what? 2 weeks ago. I can't wait to talk to Mueller. He said it with a smile. I want to talk to Mueller. I have nothing to hide, and I'm going to do it under oath. What did his lawyers come out with yesterday? His lawyer said, we do not want Trump to be interviewed by Mueller or the FBI. The reason being, they don't think he can handle it. He'll perjure himself. The man lies constantly. I don't think he lies intentionally most of the time. He just lies. That's him. That's the nature of the man. And so I heard on TV today, one of the announcers said they looked it up, and since he's taken office, he's lied on an average of 3 times a day. So I don't know what's going to happen now. Mueller's going to invite him to sit down to be interviewed, probably at the White House, pay all due respect, because he's president of the United States. And if he says no, I'm going to tell you something. He'll subpoena him. He'll slap him with a subpoena. And then he's going to testify in a room in a courthouse, in a federal courthouse, in front of 23 citizens, a grand jury. And God, he'll be definitely under oath, be sworn in. God help him if he misrepresents or lies. Now, I referred, this is interesting too, because last week when I was talking about the market's going to drop, I said two things. I said, this is funny, I wasn't showing disrespect, but I view Trump as the Archie Bunker of the presidency. Those of you who are old enough remember back in the 60s or 70s, there was a television show, Carol Connor, Archie Bunker. He's Archie Bunker. I'll also say this, last week in my Key West Lou Live video, when I was talking about the market dropping, I said that Donald Trump was the Herbert Hoover of 2018. The Herbert Hoover of 2018. Okay, now moving on, we're going to talk about the courts and packing the courts. Trump is very Trump is packing the courts. He's doing a hell of a job. He's doing a good job. Very quietly. Rarely do you get an opening on the Supreme Court. He wants conservative judges, ultra-right judges. I understand this. It's politics. It's wrong, but it's politics. The Democrats do the same thing. So he doesn't have the vacancies on the Supreme Court. There's only 9 judges. But he does have them on the Circuit Court of Appeals. The federal system is the federal trial court. District court. Then comes the circuit court. That's your appellate court. You appeal from the trial court to the circuit court first, then the United States Supreme Court. Now, he has a lot of vacancies on the circuit court. So far, he's appointed 13 new judges to the circuit court. Okay? All conservative, all far to the right, and interestingly, not one a woman. Be that as it may, and he's going to have this opportunity. He's got a lot of circuit court openings, and those fellows are going to sit, or those judges, for 30 or 40 years. Some of them will make it to the Supreme Court because we normally take them from the Circuit Court of Appeals. And he is arranging for our federal court system to be conservative for the next 20 to 30 years. That's how it is going to work out. Now, he isn't the only one to want to pack the court. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, 1937, the Supreme Court was shooting down a lot of his New Deal legislation, so he attempted to pack the court by increasing the number of judges from 9 to 15. He never even got the legislation set for a vote, but it was out there. He wanted to increase it to 15. By so doing, he would appoint all liberal judges, the difference between 9 and 15, and he would be able to control the vote and his legislation would move forward. Even the Democrats were against it, saying you can't pack the court, it's wrong. So he backed off. By 1942, it was not an important issue any longer because by that time enough Supreme Court judges had retired or passed on, and he controlled. The Democrats controlled the United States Supreme Court by a 7-2 margin. Let's talk about immigration. Trump's got a purpose here. He's got a goal. Understand, my friends, one of his goals, one of the goals of conservative America, one of the goals of the alt-right is to keep this country white. We must have a white majority. They're fearful. They know the people of color are going to outnumber the whites in due course in this century and sooner than later. And they want to avoid it as much as possible. This is racism at its worst. And this legislation he's passing, or getting passed, keep the Muslims out, keep the the Mexicans out, do this and that. It's to prevent people of color from coming to this country and ultimately becoming citizens. This happened back in 1917 also. The country wanted to stay white, and Congress passed an Immigration Act in 1917, and it two things in that act. One, it required anyone coming in this country to take a literacy test. They had to read and write English, and it also barred all Asians from coming into the United States with certain exceptions. Well, Wilson, President Wilson at the time, vetoed it. Congress overrode it. And let me tell you something, that was one of the worst immigration acts ever passed in 1917. It was, the whole purpose was to bring in Northern Europeans. It did, in effect, prevented a large number of Southern Italians from coming to this country. My people came here at the turn of the century, around 1900, 1905. Had they waited till 1917 or later, they would not have been admitted to this country because none of them knew how to read and write when they came over here. They were laborers, the lowest type of laborers, calluses all over their hands. What did reading and writing have to do with all this? And that's how, at that time, the people of the United States, just after we entered into World War I, attempted to keep the country white and to keep out those people, you know, those Italians. I got a bug up my ass about this. In fact, it's in my book, Growing Up Italian, how they tried to keep Italians out at that time. Now, moving on here, let's see. Trump said last week, we've got to unify this country. And that's one of his goals now, to unify the country, to get rid of this partisanship. A noble effort. He said, though, I got to come up with a way to unify, and I'm not sure how to do it yet. And then the next day he said, you know, got to give North Korea a bloody nose. Why do you give North Korea a bloody nose? You go to war with them. And what I'm worried about is this, that he may think, or he may justify, bombing North Korea to give them a bloody nose because he knows war unifies a country, generally. Pearl Harbor, 9-11. No question. Pearl Harbor, 9-11 unified this country. I would remind him, though, and remind you if you may not have recalled, Vietnam did not unite this country. It divided it badly. Also, Trump lies. I spoke about that a few minutes ago. He's a liar. One of his lies, and this is just a simple one this week, because everything he does is the best that anyone has ever done. The State of the Union Address. This was his first State of the Union Address. 45.6 million people watched Donald Trump give the State of the Union last Tuesday, okay? And that's a big number. But it isn't the largest number of people that ever watched a State of Union address, watched me give it the other night. You know, it's amazing how many people watched. Well, he's not a student of history, or he doesn't have people telling him what's right or wrong, or the people who write his speeches lie intentionally. I assume they know what they're talking about, but they lie. I'm not a fan of Stephen Miller's. Anyhow, had someone bothered to check, they would have found that Obama, Bush 2, and Clinton had higher numbers, higher viewers than Trump did for their first State of the Union addresses. Another thing about Donald, my president, this memo from the House Intelligence Committee, Nunes, the chairman, who's going to get indicted. Somebody's got to. He's manipulating the laws. I don't understand what he's doing. I see him getting indicted for something. But put that aside, this memo that he came out with, this four-page memo, this was going to show FISA was all screwed up, that court system, et cetera, et cetera. And all we heard for several days is when this memo goes public, it will show you, you know, how they're cheating the Democrats, how they did this wrong, how they did that wrong. It's worse than Watergate. It's worse than anything that's ever happened in this country. So it came out, the memo, and it turned out to be a dud. It's nothing. It's not even a firecracker. In fact, leading Republicans are saying it has nothing to do with the Mueller investigation. But what did Trump say yesterday when he was in Cincinnati? He was speaking in Cincinnati, and he said with a smile on his face, and I quote him, "We got him." I was a, quote, sleuth. He was a sleuth. He was a detective. I didn't even know he knew the word sleuth. But he says, "We got him. We found out how they manipulated this, and they lied about that, and kept this information away from the judge." And that cleared me of anything. There's no collusion. There's nothing here that I did wrong. Isn't it amazing? Absolutely amazing. He's amazing because he doesn't, I don't know if he ever read any of the papers involved, even the four-page memo, and he was supposed to, by the way, because he had to prove its release, if he understands what's going on in these situations. End of Donald Trump. How's that? And in my last 10 minutes, I'm going to talk a little bit about Key West. Let's ease up here and get into some interesting things also. I want to talk about Sloppy Joe's. Those of you who have been here know that that's probably the premier and most popular bar in town, Sloppy Joe's, on the corner of Green and Duval Street. Let me tell you the history of Sloppy Joe's because it involves Ernest Hemingway also. Joe Russell's his name. Sloppy Joe's name is Joe Russell. And he was operating out of Captain Tony's on Green Street back in the 1930s up till 1937. And one of his customers there, he ran a bar, was Ernest Hemingway. That's where they met. That's where they became friends. Russell was running an illegal speakeasy for many of those years. He couldn't sell booze. One of his best customers, as we all know, was Ernest Hemingway. Russell was a bootlegger. He had ran girls out of his place. He was a fisherman, etc. He and Hemingway would go fishing every afternoon, almost every day. Finally, Prohibition was over, and he changed the name of his place to The Blind Pig. Why, I don't know. Then he put in a dance floor a little while later, and he changed the name again, this time to The Silver Slipper. It was a shabby place, but the people who went there were all good friends, including Ernest Hemingway. And it had gambling, which was illegal, and it had girls again, and it could sell booze. And the price of booze is very interesting to me. It was 15 cents for a glass of whiskey and 10 cents for a glass of gin. I'm a gin drinker. I want to tell you something. Captain Tony's today, Sloppy Joe's today, you can't get a glass of gin, which is never full, never even close to full, for less than $10 to $12 a glass. Absolutely amazing. Well, came a night in 1937 when the landlord who owned Captain Tony's told Joe Russell, "I'm raising your rent from $3 to $4 a month." Amazing. Those places, Captain Tony still rents, I believe. The rent has to be $25,000 to $35,000 a month. I'm not kidding you, for real. Sloppy Joe's is privately owned to this day by Russell's family, as I understand. So, but if they had to pay a rent there, it'd be $50,000 to $60,000 a month. Absolutely no question. That's how the rents run in that area of Key West, be that as it may. On the night he was going to go, his lease would run out at midnight from what's now Captain Tony's, and he'd go to the new Sloppy Joe's. His customers all helped to move him, including Hemingway. He picked up the chairs, the tables, the booze, box that carried, and they walked the half a block to what's now Sloppy Joe's. It was only half a block away. And he never lost a buck. They set up in the new place, kept drinking, and he kept making money. The old place, what is now Captain Tony's, had in the men's room urinals that were troughs, T-R-O-U-G-H-S. Men would stand up one next to the other, and they'd urinate into these troughs. These were just like open buckets, one long one, maybe 10 feet long. Turned out that they were made of ceramic tiles. They were beautiful, the men's room at Captain Tony's. And Joe Russell didn't want to take them to the new Sloppy Joe's. So Hemingway said, "Can I have them?" Of course, Joe said yes. And Hemingway unhooked them, got some people to help them. They threw them on their shoulders, and they carried them to his home on Whitehead Street. If you visit Whitehead Street, the Hemingway home, and you should visit the Hemingway home, it's absolutely a wonderful, wonderful trip through the place. It's history. You feel it. You can touch it. It's amazing. You will see the six-toed cats. Hemingway had a six-toed cat, and from that one six-toed cat, there's now 25 or 30 of them on the property. Six toes, all right? And the ceramic urinals, I'll call them, lay on the ground in front of the house, with flat on the ground, with pipes running into them, delivering fresh water into the urinals from which the six-toed cats today drink. Interesting. Now, how did Sloppy Joe's get its name? I'm sorry for taking so long, but every now and then we got to get a little Key West history in here. Sloppy Joe was going to call the new place the Silver Slipper also. And Hemingway said, change the name. He said, Sloppy Joe's, what is the facility, the building now Sloppy Joe's, was a fish market, a huge fish market. And when they went in there, the floor was wet, sloppy with water, because it was a fish market. And Hemingway said, call this place Sloppy Joe's. And he did, and that's how the name Sloppy Joe came to be. Want to talk to you about turtles very quickly. We have a turtle hospital in Marathon, and it's such a wonderful thing. We're very conscious here in the Keys about our friends from the ocean. This winter and last winter have been bad, especially this winter for turtles. Turtles can't handle cold water, okay? And it affects their metabolism, okay, and makes them vulnerable to infections and illnesses. Last year, for example, during the winter, about 100 turtles in Cape Cod got sick from the cold water. Now, sick meant they're floating on their backs. They can't breathe. They developed tumors in their lungs and tumors on their face. They were boxed, and they were put on huge airplanes, and all of them were shipped down here to the Turtle Hospital in Marathon. And between antibiotics, warming them up, and they have to take care of these tumors too, it takes a year to bring them back. All of them were brought back. None died, and a year later, they flew them back to Cape Cod. This winter in the Keys is bad, especially in the North Florida waters. It's unusual. The same problem is occurring. The Turtle Hospital is taking all the turtles from Northern Florida in. It's bursting the walls, but they're doing the same thing. They're taking care of the tumors, their lung diseases, and everything else. And thank God we have a place like this. I want to tell you something else about Key West. This past Sunday, in Key West, we had a polar bear plunge. Polar bear plunge. Now, we all know what a polar bear plunge is. In the middle of winter, a bunch of people in bathing suits run in and dive into the ocean. They freeze their asses off. They're lucky they don't get a heart attack. And we had one, but we're Key West. It's a little warmer here. And the temperature this past weekend was probably 70 degrees when they went in. That's cold if you live in Key West, because under 74, we freeze our asses off here. Has to do with your blood, whether it's thin or thick. The people from up north who were down here had no trouble jumping in because their blood's thick and they can handle it. 250 people at noon Sunday went into the water in the polar bear plunge. There is a polar bear plunge all over the United States. The Sunday of Super Bowl, this was the seventh consecutive year they have had such an event at noon on the day of the Super Bowl, and we had one here in Key West, and it was to raise money for a charity, the Samuel House for Women. That is my show for this week. Thank you for joining me. I enjoy talking with you, and I'm glad you joined me. My numbers keep going up on this show. I absolutely love it. I've got sponsors, some national. That's absolutely amazing. My book, Irm and Me, is out there. If you haven't bought it, buy it, please. $14.95, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It's about the hurricane, the only book written on the hurricane. It's terrific, not because I wrote it, believe me. And it's selling. I want it to sell very well. I'm selfish in that regard. Please watch me on Key West Lou Live video on Facebook almost every day. 2 or 3 minutes of things I like and I don't like. You might find that interesting. Again, thank you for joining me. I look forward to being with you again next week. wait